Hi, gang. Bob Bovin here to bring you The Mystery Project and another new episode of Clean Sweep. There's a disappearance in one of Member Two County's first families, and Bonnie saw it happen, but doesn't comprehend. And she really hates that. The play is called The Senator's Lady. Deborah Allen and Richard Donat star as Bonnie and Ben Marston.
Hello?
Oh, Bonnie. It's Nora McVeigh.
Oh, no. Did I get my days mixed up? I thought I wasn't supposed to clean your house till tomorrow.
No. I mean, yes, that's right. But I wondered if you might do me a favor.
Sure.
Well, you see, Tom's not home, and, I was sitting on the front porch watching the bird feeder, and a panel truck went down the road into the woods, and it didn't come back. And then I started hearing gunshots echoing through the valley. It isn't hunting season yet.
Did you call the Mounties?
No, that's the favor I was going to ask. You see, the Senator, Tom, may be retired, but he's still thought of as part of the government. So anything with his name attached to it is news. I was wondering, would you call the RCMP and tell them that you were driving down our road and heard gunshots from the woods? Oh, please.
Sure, I'll do that right away.
Oh, thank you, Bonnie. Bye now.
So you called the Mounties.
And Corporal Qualchuk called me back about half an hour later from his patrol car after he checked it out.
That was fast.
I guess they take reports of gunshots pretty serious, which made me feel even more foolish.
Why foolish?
Well, I guess there's some sort of cottage development getting laid out on that little lake behind the Senator's property. Gunshots are the surveyors hammering metal stakes.
You said gunshots?
Well, the Senator's wife didn't think it was very funny when I called her back and told her that's all it was.
Oh, it's no big deal. Qualchuk got a few minutes excitement out of tear down the road with his holster open.
Nora got pretty upset with herself, not just feeling foolish like I did when the corporal called and told me, but a lot worse. Maybe I was just hearing upset in her voice, like she was hearing gunshots in the woods. Anyway, I'll see her tomorrow. She'll probably be home.
Good morning, Nora.
Oh, Bonnie. I thought I'd be gone before you got here.
Melissa had an early practice, so I drove her instead of taking the school bus. Then I figured since I was already halfway here, you going on a trip?
Oh, just overnight. I got a sudden phone call from a friend that was sick.
Here, let me give you a hand.
No, I can manage, thanks.
Sure. Did you hurt your leg or something?
Oh, that. Oh, my foot's asleep. Just a bit of pins and needles. Tom's in the city. I left an envelope on the kitchen table with a note for him to explain. And I left the front door open for you and my keys on the table. Just a sec. If you've done before Tom gets home, you can lock up and put the key through the mail slot.
Then how will you get in?
Oh, I'll make arrangements. I have to hurry now. Bonnie, thank you for all the help you've been over the years.
Well, you paid me for it.
Goodbye, Bonnie.
Have a safe trip.
Hello.
Hello, Senator. Just me. Nora thought you wouldn't be back before I was done.
I managed to get away early. I didn't retire to the country so I could spend my life in smoky rooms in Halifax. Where is Nora?
I said she got called away. She left an envelope on the kitchen table to explain to you. I was just about to take a tea break. Will you join me?
That's an excellent idea.
I'll have to get some stuff from home to get that stain off under the bathtub tap upstairs. Everybody's well got too filled with minerals after the big rain. Meanwhile, the stain won't get any worse if I wait till next week.
Oh, Lord.
What is it? What's wrong?
Nora's left me.
What?
She always had the ability to put things clearly in a few words. And she says, I'm gone. Don't try to find me. I have a new life. You will find one, too. My bank account and... here, you read the rest. I'm having trouble seeing.
My bank account and telephone and all my other accounts have been closed out.
We always kept separate accounts, you know. Prevents arguments.
Oh. I promise to return to sit beside you at the head table for our 25th next month to keep up appearances. I should have known it was a mistake to let the plans for that event go ahead, but it's too late now. But until and after that evening, consider me out of your life forever. Nora.
Oh, Lord. Emily, my first wife, will laugh the roof off. I ran out on her for someone younger and more vital. Nora, you see. Now it's my turn.
You don't know for sure that's what happened.
Well, it seems kind of obvious, doesn't it? If it were just that Nora found me impossible to live with, she would have left me long before now.
Do you... Well, is there somebody else you think might be the...
No. Never entered my head she might be interested in someone else. But the place looks tidy enough to me, Bonnie. Would you mind just calling it a day and finishing up the odds and ends when you come back next week?
Sure, I'll just get my gear together.
And Bonnie, what Nora said about keeping up appearances, I know it's bound to come out eventually, but I'd prefer it drifted out gradually rather than bursting out in a rush.
Your name can still sell newspapers.
Exactly.
I won't tell anybody.
I know you're bound to mention it to Ben. Nora and I told each other everything, too. Well, almost everything. But Ben knows how to keep things in the family.
Are you going to be all right?
I guess I'll have to be, won't I?
So I just packed up my stuff and left them there. What else could I do? Nora didn't seem to me like somebody who was running off on her husband to join a lover. More kind of sad. Skittish and nervous.
Well, wouldn't you be? No. Forget I asked that.
Hello?
Hello, Bonnie. It's Tom McPhail.
Oh, Senator, we were just... Is everything all right?
Oh, sure. Sure. Hey, could you put Ben on the line, please?
Sure. Ben?
Hello?
Ben? I was just wondering if you'd have time to do a few hours' work around my place tomorrow.
Well, I've got a job on in the morning, but I could come by early afternoon. What kind of tools should I bring?
Oh, I've got most of what you need here. A turf cutter and such. And you probably have a large crowbar?
Oh, a wrecking job.
No, the wrecking's already been done. And on your way over, stop by a garden supply and pick up some fresh sod. And just add it to your bill.
How much sod?
Not much. About 3 feet by 6 should do it.
You see that driftwood bench down by the shore?
Yeah.
Nora would sit there for hours, reading, watching the waves. Yesterday, around sunset, I stepped out onto the deck. Thought I saw her sitting there. Called out to her. It was just a shadow. I don't want that to happen again, so take the bench out, whatever way you have to, and put down some fresh sod.
What do you want me to do with the bench?
Throw it all in the back of your truck. You can take it home and burn it, or put it back together in your backyard if you want, just as long as it's gone.
Sweating in the sun, come up. Have some
iced
tea by the pool. Just like I regularly do with
Bonnie
when she's cleaning the house on a hot day.
You talked me into it.
Would you like a little something stronger in your tea?
Well, since I already dealt with all the sharp things like nails,
getting a tiny bit fuzzy wouldn't do me any harm.
And I'm more than glad to take a break from squinting at quarterly reports and stock portfolios. Here you go.
Oh, thanks.
Cheers.
Stock portfolios, huh? Yeah. Bonnie was saying just last week when she was making up the grocery list, there's two completely different kinds of people in this country, and it all depends on what they mean by clipping coupons.
Bonnie can be very petty at times.
Yeah, sometimes.
So, what's your point of view on your local by-election?
Oh, I try and ignore that stuff as much as possible. Bad for my digestion.
Oh?
All these politicians talking noble about being public servants. Seems to me if somebody calls himself my servant, he's getting 10 times more salary and benefits than I'll ever see. Either he's a con artist or I'm a fool, or both.
How dare you? You... How dare you sit back and judge people who work brutally long hours, barely seeing their families from one month to the next? You have no conception of what a life in politics entails.
Time I packed up my tools.
The job isn't done yet.
You hired the wrong man. There's plenty of guys around here willing to take their hats off to your face and make faces behind your back.
What? You can't take somebody contradicting your opinions.
You weren't contradicting me, sir. You were putting me in my place.
Ben! Ben! Hey, wait.
No, hold on. Hold on. It's not worth giving yourself a heart attack, for God's sake.
Ben, do you know that you and Bonnie are the only two people I've ever known who never asked me for a favor, to put in a good word, or give you a hint when the next economic development program's coming up? You have as much right to your views as any cabinet minister. Even if you don't vote, you pay taxes.
As many as I can't get out of.
So that's a week next Wednesday, a banquet celebrating the 25th wedding anniversary of retired Senator Thomas J. McPhail and his lovely wife, Nora, with yours truly, Bowtie Bob as Master of Ceremonies. $25 a chair, with the proceeds to be divided evenly between the Children's Wish Foundation and the...
Good morning, Bonnie. I was just out to get the mail. Is it your day already?
It says Thursday on the calendar.
Oh, I'm losing track. Oh, damn.
What?
Oh, it's just the damn phone company went and sent a bill for Nora's line. She'd had it disconnected before she left. I'm sure she'd had it all resolved. But they went and sent the bill here anyway. There'll be itemized long-distance charges and... would you do me a favor, Bonnie? Open it up. Tear off the payment stub. Hand it to me.
Sure.
Put the rest in your pocket. Throw it away when you get home. Please, if you put it in a wastebasket here, despite my best intentions, I'll probably find myself up at 2 o'clock in the morning digging through the trash.
But you didn't throw it out.
I will. I didn't say I wouldn't look at it first. Look at the long-distance list. There's two numbers she called 7 or 8 times in the last month. Both of them again on the day before she disappeared.
Oh?
Both these numbers are in Nova Scotia. One's a Halifax exchange, the other I don't know. So the long-distance charges wouldn't be much. I know I keep saying this, Corporal, but you have to promise me that for now, this just stays between you and me.
Understood. But what I don't understand is why you think there's something unusual about this Golden Vale home.
Well, I figured the phone number I had might be like a private office number, and they might have another public number where I could call and find out more about the place by saying my grandmother was looking for an extended care home or something.
And?
I called information, unlisted number. What kind of care home or retirement community or whatever Golden Vale is has an unlisted number so that prospective clients can't even find them in the Yellow Pages?
That is unusual, but not...
Nora's got a lot of money. Not millions or anything. But she'd have her own RRSPs and life insurance and investments. There are people out there who prey on people like her, aren't there? Promising miracle cures if you can pay.
And what would Mrs. MacPhail be looking for in the way of a cure?
I don't know. But she was seeing a neurologist.
But if Senator MacPhail won't file a missing persons report...
He won't.
You could.
Oh, no. He'd burn my ears off if he knew I'd even read that long-distance list.
Then I don't see what I can do.
You could find out that unlisted phone number.
You could call again, but I don't think they'll tell you any more than you know now.
Well, there must be something you can do.
I wish there was.
But it's your jurisdiction.
You really care about these people, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Where is this Golden Vale home?
The phone exchange is up near Quebreton. I thought of driving up there and stopping at a gas station and asking for directions. But even if I did find the place, I'd just get the same runaround in person as I got over the phone.
It's picturesque up there. I have a day off coming Monday. I don't take a patrol car home, but that's where I dress for work. I think any reception desk would be inclined to entertain your questions if you had a uniformed RCMP officer standing behind you.
They sure as hell would. I mean...
Understand, I'm not there to say or do anything. Just an attention-getting device.
Officer, madam, what can I do for you?
We're looking for a Mrs. Nora MacPhail. She's a resident here.
It is strictly against policy to give out any information about our residence list except to pre-authorize contacts. Is this Mrs. MacPhail the subject of an investigation?
Not yet. This is a delicate matter from both sides. We assume that discretion is part of what attracts clients to Golden Vale from all over North America. And Senator MacPhail would prefer this didn't blossom into a formal investigation.
Would you wait here just one moment, please?
Certainly. For somebody who wasn't going to say anything, that was pretty good.
Well.
Thanks.
I'm afraid we don't have a Mrs. Nora MacPhail registered here. The only Nora we have is a Ms. Nora Calloway.
That's her maiden name.
Ah. She's in Suite 32 at the end of the corridor. If you'll come with me...
I'll wait in the car.
Very good, Corporal.
Miss Calloway, you have a visitor.
It's Bonnie Marston, Nora.
Come in.
I'll be at the reception desk if you need me.
Thank you. Oh.
I was sitting down, but I can save some preliminary confusion if you see me right off in all my splendor. This is why I'm here. Apparently some of the longtime residents hold walker races in the corridor, but I'm still in training. Sit down. I'm going to.
But how did... What did...
ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease.
But just 3 weeks ago, you were walking fine.
I was limping a little already, remember? Apparently, sometimes it does come on this fast. Sometimes even faster.
And well, they have some sort of cure for it here?
There is no cure. All they can do is medicate the pain and try to stabilize me.
How long have you known?
Almost 2 months since the last test left no room for fairy tales. I knew what I had to do and put all the preliminaries in place. But I kept stalling. Oh, then came that silly business with the gunshots, remember?
I thought you sounded a little panicked when I called you back.
I was panicked. I was convinced the degeneration was already well on its way. And if I didn't jump fast, I wouldn't be able to jump at all. As it turned out, I was mistaken. auditory hallucinations aren't part of the package. But I guess I had some sort of premonition, because I'd barely arrived here when it started galloping through me. How did you find me?
Oh, there was a phone bill. The senator asked me to throw it out so he wouldn't be tempted to snoop through your long-distance records. I snooped.
Damn phone company, I paid that bill. Does Tom know that I'm here?
No, he doesn't even know I read the phone bill.
Promise me you won't tell him.
But why?
We made a deal, Tom and I. 25 years ago. Nothing was said, but it was pretty obvious when a 30-year-old woman marries a 55-year-old man that he's probably going to die long before her. And she'll probably have to nurse him through his last few years. It wasn't supposed to be the other way around.
A lot of things aren't the way they're supposed to be.
Look, as long as he thinks I just ran off with some cabana boy, he'll adjust. He's made a career out of adjusting.
If you show up for that anniversary banquet, he's bound to notice you couldn't run off with anybody.
Yeah, I should have found some excuse to cancel that before it got rolling. I kept thinking this will hold off till that was over. Still, all I have to do is show the flag.
You're actually going?
I've already made arrangements for one of the staff here to drive me. Well, Tom can easily smooth over some excuse for why we didn't arrive together. Maybe if I can keep the shaking down, I can convince him that I was just in a minor car accident and the walker's only temporary. So promise me, Bonnie, don't tell him how to find me.
I promise.
It's not so bad, really. Once you give up hoping that the test might be wrong, I can live with that, so to speak. What I couldn't live with would be making Tommy regret he'd married me. I was lucky to get this suite, you know. It has the best view in the place.
Said the one thing she couldn't live with was making you regret you'd married her.
Oh, Lord.
But I can't tell you where she is. I promised.
Just like you promised. You wouldn't try to find her.
I only promised I wouldn't spread it around that she'd disappeared.
You should have been in politics. Oh, Nora. What did I do all those years to make her think? Did Ben burn that old driftwood bench I got him to take from here?
No. He's got the pieces in the barn. Said he'd set it up in our yard when he got around to it.
Good. Tell him I'd like to buy it back from him and pay him for delivery and reassembly. Well, well, my favorite Marsdens. And thank you very much for coming.
We wouldn't have missed this thread.
Is Nora?
Not yet. Do you know what table you're at? Should sign the ticket.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention, please. Well, you may have noticed that the senator's wife didn't arrive with him. Seems even as pretty a woman as Mrs. McPhail feels she has to take that extra half-hour printing. But I've been informed that she has now arrived and should be coming through that door any second now. So if you'll all turn your attention to the entranceway.
Wish me luck. Good night. Well, Nora.
Hello, Tom. This looks a lot worse than it is. I was in a traffic accident, but the doctor says I should be off this ridiculous walker in a month or so and walking normally again.
Nora, Bonnie Morrison told me the truth.
What? She promised.
As I understand it, she only promised not to tell me where you were. She kept her promise.
Well, I've just been given a very special request, an order, actually, to begin the dancing with a specific piece of music, and to put it on as soon as the Senator and Mrs. McPhail were in close proximity. So, without further ado...
This is ridiculous, Tom. Tell him to stop.
I told him to start. The thing I regret most in my entire life is that over the last 25 years, I've been so damned self-centered that I somehow gave you the idea I could live without you under any circumstances. Nora, please, come on.
We're supposed to be dancing.
We are dancing, Nora, and always will be.
This has been The Senator's Lady, the newest episode of Clean Sweep, written by John Avalard. In the cast, Deborah Allen was Bonnie Marsden, and Richard Donat was her husband, Ben. The cast featured the late, great Bill Fulton in his final performance as Senator McPhail, and Anna Cameron as Nora. The others were Michael Pellerin as Corporal Kowalczyk, and John Davey as McEwen, with George Jordan as Bob Smiley. The music was composed by Scott McMillan and David McIsaac, and was performed by Gordon Stobie, Jamie Gatti, and Andre Lacroix, along with the two composers. The recording engineer was Pat Martin. Sound effects, Dermot Kenny. The associate producer was Peggy Hemsworth. The casting was by John Dunsworth and Alex Duncan. Clean Sweep was produced and directed in Halifax by Bill Howell, the executive producer of The Mystery Project. Our coordinating producer is Barry Morgan. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments.